This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, October the 12th, and that is important. And it is important because by the time you hear this, the first thing we're going to talk about will certainly have changed.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
We would be remiss not to lead off the show following with some at least brief discussion of the events that are taking place in Israel and across Palestine, the Gaza Strip now.
Yeah.
And I think that we have some things we want to say, but I also recognize that by the time this show releases, that situation is likely to have drastically changed.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think knowing that, and I was thinking about this on my drive up, you know, knowing that, I guess the thing that I want to acknowledge, and we got some emails saying, you know, we're looking forward to like some input from us on the situation. I have spent this week, knowing that this would be a topic that I would want to talk about and need to talk about for the show, I have spent this week trying like hell to find some multitude of sources, podcasts, articles, anything. I've consumed so much this week. I've consumed so much, Cecil. And I don't feel any better for having consumed it.
Yeah.
I don't feel any more properly equipped to provide anything to you as an audience that feels insightful or nuanced or would pass for analysis. And I feel really struck. And I just want to acknowledge the like feeling of vulnerability I have here. I feel really struck that even offering commentary in this situation feels so fraught.
Yeah.
It really feels fraught.
For sure. And I think it's because the sources on all sides are very biased.
They're so bad.
I think that there's it's so hard to be somebody trying to dig through this and not be able to find something that feels like it's objective. It always feels like no matter how it's telling you something, it is telling you something that is very slanted and very
so
one-sided.
Bad, man. So bad. And I do want to say that for me, when I read about the invasion into Israel and the attacks on the civilian population in Israel, I will say it is a high bar for me to sympathize with Israel when it comes to the situation in Gaza. It takes a lot for me to be like, I sympathize in this moment with Israel. But in that moment, I absolutely have to say, like, you can't do anything other than decry those attacks.
Sure, yeah.
They are, I think it's interesting because I have seen that in places across America and other places in the world, but I did see many stories that there were rallies that were pro-Palestinian rallies that were celebrating this attack. That is appalling to me. Like this, that's disgusting. I think you can hold in your mind the absolute rejection of apartheid.
Yeah.
The
sure.
support
yeah.
for a Palestinian state. And you can hold that in your mind at the same time that you reject Hamas.
Yeah.
And that you reject violence
yes.
and atrocities against civilians.
Yeah.
And I do find it really fucked that people can't hold those things or
yeah.
don't want to hold those things
sure.
and instead are like, yeah, the solution to this problem was definitely murdering women and children and gunning people down at a fucking music festival, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
That simply cannot be the solution.
Yeah.
Like if you can't find that morally objectionable in an absolute sense, then I don't know that I can find a point of agreement.
You know, what's interesting is the people who I paid attention to are some of the people who I'm connected to that are secular Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And even famous secular Jews like Bernie Sanders.
Sure.
And I found that their responses to this were very reasoned,
yeah,
very measured. Like the same thing you're talking about. Reject both things here. Reject terrorism when terrorism happens. And sometimes that happens when people invade another country and they kill people.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that happens because of 30 years of apartheid.
Right.
Both of those things are terrorist, and both of those things should be decried. And it doesn't feel that that's a big, you know, ask for people to do, but people get caught up. And it's also very hard, I think, too, to be someone who's not involved in any of this, right? Like, we are very far away from this problem. This is not, it doesn't include us.
Right.
And so to be so far away from it and so removed from it, I can't put myself in the position of somebody who's lived in the Gaza Strip for years.
Yeah,
I can't put myself in that position. I don't know what that feels like. So I try to have as much empathy as I possibly can, but I can't, it's so difficult to put myself there. And then to see the terrorist acts, like we say, on both sides. I mean, you're talking about killing kids. There's killing kids happening on both sides.
Absolutely. This, you know, like from the reading that I've done and the thinking about it that I've done this week, I think on the Israeli side, you've got a hard right-wing, weak leader in Netanyahu, who is a hard populist, who for the last several years has been focusing most of their time and attention in the West Bank and expanding, I think illegally, expanding settlements across the West Bank and taking land away from the rightful owners across the West Bank. And they've diverted a lot of their time and attention over there. I think that seeing that weakness at the same time that like a lot of Arab states have been working with Israel toward like capitalist normalization of those relationships, I think Hamas was like, well, we got to do something to force the hand of this weak but violent leader. And I think this attack was designed specifically to create this exact response.
Sure.
In exactly the same way, I'm reminded of like after 9/11, when Osama bin Laden was like, yeah, like the intention here was to attack you so you'll attack us and attack here and to bring you here where we can have this political effect. I think this feels very, very, very much—
very reminiscent.
In the same vein.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that we did after 9/11 was go and attack these other nations. Like, so
pissed off, you wanted to fight something.
Right. And we saw the impact of that was a net negative to the United States, right? We lost.
Net negative to the world.
Negative to the whole world.
Net negative to the world.
That's way better, right? But I guess I'm saying like it's a net negative even to us.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that like Israel's response into Gaza, which will be by their own talking.
Which already been horrible.
Yeah, and it's going to get way worse. Yeah. Like they're saying, like, we're going to
make this cut off all,
hell on earth.
They've already cut off all like any
food, water, fuel,
anything,
medicine,
anything.
Yeah.
You can't get in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that I have like anything to say that is anything you can't read somewhere by smarter people. What I would suggest is like, keep reading as much as you possibly can. I know I'm struggling to find things that make me feel like I really understand in a deep way what's going on. But I think we also should talk about like the reality that this is a religiously motivated moment in history and a religiously fraught geographical reality, geopolitical reality.
Yeah, you can't pull religion out of this. There's no way that you can look at this and say, this is only social, this is only economic, this is all things, and religion is a huge part of that. Like, these things would not be happening if religion, you know, if religion wasn't involved, I don't know that all this stuff would be happening at the level it's happening.
Religion is
fueling this fire.
1,000%.
And I don't think you can pull that away from it. You can't look at it that way. The other thing too is, you were talking about Netanyahu, and there's also been a sort of pushback from some of the people who are in the reserves over there. They were protesting Netanyahu for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this galvanized them behind Netanyahu.
Yeah.
So there already was some division in Israel between Netanyahu and the people who had signed up to, I guess, be reservists and their fight back and forth because they did not like how he was running the government, how he was in many ways turning it into a fascist state.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that. And they were fighting against it. and like basically protesting, striking in some ways against it. And he, this now, they immediately got called up and they were all, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. And that is terrible because you were in some ways maybe going to fucking pull Netanyahu down or at least expose him as more of a weak leader. And now it's just a giant fuck, just a fucking mess now.
Yeah, this feel, again, you know, when these events occur, these are opportunities for leaders to unite the government behind their leadership. Look at what happened with George W. Bush. He was a weak, stupid, shitty president.
He got
and
so
he got
much.
Reelected after 9/11 in a fairly easy vote because he was a wartime president.
It was
right?
easy. It was easy.
Everybody rallied behind their leader.
Yeah. And right after it happened, nobody had a bad word to say about Bush.
No.
Nobody had a
all
bad word to say
who,
about Bush.
Me, you, ever, yeah. All the people who were critical of who George W.
him.
Bush thought he was exactly who he was. Thought his government, the neocon government that he had put together, was a fucking train wreck of like pseudo-fascists. And we were right about all those criticisms, by the way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like,
but all that falls away because all of a sudden that feels unpatriotic, right? It feels like you're not, it feels like by retaining that criticism, you're somehow not like part of the country's grieving moment, right? Yeah. It feels like crass in some way to do that. But I think we should reject that. Right? I think you can hold both ideas in your mind at the same
time.
Cognitive
dissonance.
But we have to, yeah, exactly. Like these moments where we want there to be good guys and bad guys, where we want there to be heroes and monsters. This is one of those really important moments to be like, okay, well, one, there's two monsters. And we there are no heroes here. And there are no binaries. And we need to throw away those ideas of good and evil. We need to try to hold two ideas in our heads at the same time.
And the problem with monsters fighting over this is the blood in the gears is innocent kids.
1,000%
The blood
man.
In the gears is innocent people who are constantly getting trampled over and just murdered. Just fucking murdered.
By both sides,
by
man.
Both sides of this. They are absolutely murdering children and innocent people. People who just want to live.
Yeah.
And the apartheid state for decades putting these people in massive poverty. It's a giant, it's an absolute population center. 2.2 million people.
2.2 million in 140 square miles.
They live in a tiny space in comparison to many of the, you know, like these big metropolitan areas. Yep. And these are 2.2 million people stacked on top of each other with very little social services, 60% unemployment rate. And for decades, they've lived like this. And they can't get out on either side. They can't get out from Egypt. They can't get out from Israel. They can't get out.
Yeah,
and they're stuck there.
And I do think that it is worth noting, and I don't know what to say about it other than saying it's worth noting, that like the Palestinian people have not democratically voted for Hamas for a very, very, very long time. Hamas, what they did, there was a vote that put Hamas into power. But that was a long time ago, and there has not been a vote since. And like, it is worth noting that like on the southern border with Egypt, Egypt doesn't want Hamas either.
No.
Hamas is not a representation of the Palestinian people, right? Or of the people in Gaza. They are not representative. They are terrorists.
Yeah. It's a small percentage of people who even approve of them.
Yeah. It's something like, something between like 20 and 30%. So they don't enjoy popular support across Gaza. But you're exactly right. Like everybody, all the civilians are the ones who eat shit.
They eat
like
shit all the time.
In Gaza. Like they eat so much shit in Gaza. Like Hamas hides their forces in and around civilian infrastructure intentionally.
Yep.
And then Israel bombs the shit out of that infrastructure. And then you have to be like, well, I mean, clearly nobody's hands here are even remotely clean.
Yeah.
This is again, it's just worth saying again, like this is one of those situations where there's no good guy. There's no one to root for.
Yeah.
Everyone's wrong. And I have no idea how this plays out in a way that isn't tragic.
No, it's going to be a tragedy.
On like a generational level, because I think this also will damage or destroy the normalization of Israel in the Mideast. And that's a fucking problem too.
Sure.
Everybody eats more shit because of that too.
Yeah. It's just keeping it more, it's like poking that fire, constantly poking that fire and never letting it sort of settle. It's always trying to stoke that flame. And you're talking about how hard it is to get information, Tom. we have a couple stories right now that are very much in that vein. This story is from NBC News. Verified accounts spread fake news release about a Biden $8 billion aid package to Israel, which was a faked document that somebody started posting online. And then false claims around Israel attacks include recycled videos and a game clip. That's from the New York Times. Both of those, what's happening is bad actors are using the sort of quick share of social media to dump misinformation, blatant misinformation, to paint the other side as a monster so they could get their narrative out there faster and get more people to share it because they see it and emotionally react and share it. And it's not true.
We've talked for a long time about how fantastically dangerous disinformation and misinformation is and how the proliferation of these easy to use tools are and how these platforms have a responsibility. They have an absolute humanitarian responsibility to do better. And they hide behind this absolutist free speech bullshit. These platforms are hiding. And in that hiding, they are furthering humanitarian crises. And they are absolutely responsible in part for the fanning of these flames. Bad actors, to your point, bad actors are absolutely going to seize upon this, and they are going to make their own political hay out of this. And that political hay will turn into galvanized action.
Absolutely.
We know that it will. Yeah. Sometimes that galvanized action will be fundraising that supports, you know, one or both sides. Sometimes that bad acting will be will galvanize people to show up and vote in a particular way. Sometimes that bad action will galvanize people to literally go to these places and engage physically with their own bodies in this violence. But this misinformation is not like cute shit about like how your Uncle Frank is wrong about shit at dinner time.
Yeah.
This is like world responsibility, humanitarian crisis stuff. And like, we have to reconcile, we have to reckon with, I should say, the fact that these tools are not, these tools are not morally sort of middle ground tools. These tools have a moral component now. They're too powerful.
Yeah.
They're the same as guns, right? Guns are not some like moral middle ground where they're just like amoral. Like they don't live on either side of the equation. You could just look at a fucking AR-15 and be like, well, until someone picks it up, it's not a problem. Some people use an AR-15 for good stuff. Yeah. Some people just using AR-15s.
Yeah. Sure. I garden with it every year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I
shoot the peppers right off. Bing,
bing, bing. I dig trenches with it. That's
exactly,
I really do think that these tools, these AI tools, these social media tools, we need to think about them in the same moral responsibility terms that we look at like fighter jets and AR-15s.
Sure.
They're that powerful. And we pretend they're not.
Yeah.
We pretend that because they're fun, that they're not like a big fucking deal.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you can't look at this and not recognize it doesn't come from a place of maliciousness, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not something that someone got wrong. Somebody didn't accidentally find something online and look at a recycled video game fucking footage and be like, oh, well, this clearly is something that needs to go out now and be labeled about the current conflict.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that somebody did that. There's no way somebody's recycling videos from years and years and years ago to say this is about the, because you're trying to incite people. This is a place of maliciousness and this is also too, when you're doctoring up, because the one document talks about how Biden's going to be giving aid, $8 billion aid package to Israel. They just doctored up the Ukraine one.
Yeah.
They just took the bill that, or the statement that was written about that, and they just changed a Photoshop. Like, you can't accidentally, you don't fall on your computer and accidentally Photoshop something and then share it maliciously.
Yeah,
this is made to deceive people.
Yeah, it is. And there's no repercussions for it.
Yeah.
I really do think that the creation, not the spread, like, I don't want to talk about people hitting share. The people who create misinformation, that should be a felony.
Yeah.
This should be a big time fucking felony, right? And it's like, we also should require by law that that Adobe for Photoshop and that all of the rest of these tools, and I know Photoshop is just like a brand name at this point, example, right? But like, that the creators of these tools must be required by law to digitally watermark their images when they are altered. So as soon as you alter an image, it should be digitally watermarked as altered so that we have a way for these systems to immediately flag that things have been altered. We need to, like, this is something that we are urgently need to regulate and pass laws around to protect ourselves. That we are not doing these things, that we are not holding people accountable to the law, and we need to create laws to do these things is going to create more death and destruction.
It's more and more problems down the road because the more of this that gets out there, the worse off we're going to be if we don't start paying attention to it now. It's like you're just waiting for it to pile up on you.
Yeah, and it's going to get harder and harder and harder for us to know what's real. And it's going to be harder and harder for... The thing is, like, if it's hard for the end user to know what's real, at some point in the not distant future, it's going to be hard to the point of impossibility for journalists to know what's real too. Yeah. And you have to also remember the way that the capitalist system has crunched journalism down into a 24/7, 365. There's less journalists producing more material under more pressure.
Clickbait.
Yeah. And that's the result. So at some point, we can't rely on journalists to do the work of vetting this stuff because they're under so much fucking pressure to put out a new story and put out a new story and scoop the next guy. Like, the pressure is intense. It's ridiculous. It's unsustainable. And now we're saying, well, now it's up to the end user. What? It should be up to these tools. I don't understand why it's not up to the tools.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think that there needs, and I think there needs to be on social media companies, they're starting to do it in some places, but Twitter's really bad about this and they're pushing back constantly.
Twitter just said, fuck you. We're not
Twitter,
doing it.
Twitter just said, fuck you to the EU.
Yeah.
The EU was like, hey man, you need to be better about this thing. Your thing is spreading misinformation. He's like, we'll deal with it right here, right now. Tell me what's wrong with it. Like, post all your stuff here. And it's like, no,
that's
not how it works. We're just going to ban your fucking platform in the EU because we can do that.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to do.
Good.
The moment he starts getting dropped out in different countries, the moment that's faster, that just falls into the fucking abyss.
Yep.
Look, an eagle has gotten into the cavern. Bye-bye, birdie.
Freedom. You ain't cooking my friend's goose.
Shit. They must have spotted us.
No sense being subtle now.
No Joe! G.I. Joe, we're under attack!
So this story comes from Reuters. Let's talk about something funny.
Wow, this guy.
This is great.
I couldn't believe it when I was reading this.
It's a lot, man.
This is Congressman Santos. How many charges? It's like 21?
So that fucking lying liar that lies his lying liar pants off all the time, Congressman George Santos, faces more campaign finance charges.
23 counts.
23 counts. Dude, he like just straight up like stole some donor's credit card and then charged his own shit on it.
Fuck, man. Like, seriously, I was reading that and I was like, are you serious? He got people's credit cards that donated to his campaign. And then he was like, cool. I'm just going to like buy a coat.
Yeah.
Are you serious? I cannot believe that we have gotten to the point in history after looking at sort of the stuffed suits of the 80s and 90s that were in those halls of power and all these very stuffy people. And then to see where we are now, where a guy who is like a Kevin Trudeau huckster type.
Man. Yeah.
Somebody who is clearly a fraudster.
These are the laws they don't want you to break.
Unbelievable, man. Homeboy is just like, whatever.
This is a type of fraud.
This needs to be a MasterCard commercial with like Congress, priceless or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's got
to
be something.
Access to your congressman, priceless. Yeah. This is the dumbest fraud, too. The thing that struck me so much when I was reading this article is there's nothing sophisticated about this scam.
Right.
This is just... I used your credit card for myself. That's it.
That's the extent of it.
This is like, you know, like stealing your dad's credit card and like running up internet porn charges on it.
Yeah.
There's nothing sophisticated or complex. There's no like hidden machinations of this thing and that. It's all just like, yeah, I'm pretty much just a grifter grifting.
And he is right now, hilariously. So the house is in turmoil because there's no leader.
There's
they
no
were
going
to pick Scalise.
Yeah.
They went behind a closed door, smart on their part to go behind a closed door. The Republicans decided they were going to go behind a closed door to decide who the next one is because they ousted Speaker McCarthy.
Right.
He said, bring it. They brought it and he had to leave. And so now there's no speaker. They've been rudderless for the last week and a half. And they decided very smartly to hold a series of votes to try to see who's going to be able to come out on the main floor.
Secret votes.
And yeah. And they were going to do it like they're fucking going to like do it like the Pope. And right. like whoever got the most gray smoke was going to be the guy. And so they did it all behind closed doors. And they're like, it's going to be Scalise because it was Jim Jordan and Scalise. And now they're in disarray. They don't know because Scalise is like David Duke without the baggage is what he called
himself. Yeah, that's what he called himself.
What he called himself was David Duke without the baggage. And then you have Jim Jordan, who's been accused of covering up sexual assault of wrestlers at Ohio State University. Yeah. So you have nobody's hands are clean at all in the Republican Party. But the best part is that this guy now, I saw today, he's using his vote now as a way to stall because they can't kick him out because nobody can call the vote to kick him out. So he's gonna keep them out of power. So as long as it's possible, because he's just like, fuck your face. I'm just gonna do what I want. And what a absolute implosion of the Republican Party because of this.
Well, it's because it's a party full of like Nazi sympathizers and grifters.
Yeah.
You could not assemble a more absurdist, fascist, racist clown car. Like it's like comical. It's like they're G.I. Joe villains. They're all from Cobra. Like I wouldn't be surprised if the next House Speaker was fucking Serpentor, I'd be like, I saw that coming.
Boebert looks like the Baroness, kind of.
Yes, she does.
She kind of looks like the Baroness. So
if they start shooting red lasers that
red
never
lasers
hit their
and
target,
blue lasers,
yeah, I would be like, I wouldn't even blink at it. I'd
you
be like,
even notice, yeah, you're like, whatever, man.
Whatever. You know what? They'll parachute
they're
out of
really
it.
Really
the
bad
minute.
At shooting
it's
too
fine.
For being for talking about guns for so long. They're real bad at it.
There, it's when you're. Best guy that you float when you're like, all right, who's the best guy
the
we
best
can
guy?
Find?
Why don't we
David
find
David Duke without the baggage?
Why don't we find an election denier who's also David Duke without the baggage?
And the thing is, like, their second best, Jim Jordan, is also like a hard Trumper. He's also like a Trump supporting MAGA lunatic.
This week, I was watching the news and they were interviewing a guy, Ken Buck, his name might be something like that.
Sure.
I think Buck was his last name for sure, but
Buck
I can't remember
Wild?
His first name. No, that's his last name, Tom, not his first name. Buck Wild's a little, that's a different guy.
I think that wasn't the news.
But in any
was
case,
was everybody naked? I've seen that one.
Homeboy is getting interviewed and he's talking and he seems completely reasonable. He's a Republican congressman. He seems completely reasonable. And so he's talking and he's like, you know what I'm going to do is I told them I won't give them my vote unless whoever comes out of this door says I don't believe the election was stolen. They have to say that out loud on the floor or else I will not give them my vote. And I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
I was like, where'd this guy come from? And then I looked him up and he's a monster. Like he's an
really?
Awful human being. He's like, I don't believe in abortion in cases of rape or incest.
Jesus,
and
what?
And like, there's like 20 things that I was reading and I was like, I hate you so much, but he's right about one thing and it's the election. The rest of it, he's the worst. And I forget where he was from too. He was from Colorado. He's from Colorado. His last name's Buck. There's 400 of these guys. So I don't know who he is.
Bucked off. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I thought at first when he said this, when he made this comment, I thought at first, oh, he seems like a reasonable guy. And then I looked up his platform and I was like, he's not reasonable. Oh, he's a terrible human being. But he's right about one thing.
Yeah. The thing is like, the thing that he's right about, think about how crazy this is that we are still, that there are still people who are like, hey, that election 3 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
That's like, we're on to the next election.
They're still not willing to say it wasn't stolen.
It's so insane that it's like, all right, I'm a fucking insane person on everything. I just need you to say the sky is blue. And people are like, it's a high bar. That's a high bar over here.
I can go there.
We're just asking for you to be, you just need to be in touch with reality on one thing. That's all he's asking. He's seriously like, look, 3 years ago, can you just say that 3 years ago, Biden was elected president? That's it. That's all I want. I'm a fucking absolute madman on everything else.
I'm a climate change denier. I'm anti-abortion up at all, period. And you know, like all these things that are just horrible. But the thing is like their entire party is there.
Yeah.
So it's not like to me, it's a shock. But to them, he's like he's a fucking average Joe in their party. And he's hard right.
Yeah. And I'm sure that in his party, he is a pariah.
He's a leftist to them.
Right.
He's a leftist.
He's essentially Karl Marx.
One thing that he believes is something that they hold on to so dearly.
A demonstrably true thing.
Yeah.
All he's asking too is like, hey, look, I just want you to say that a demonstrably provable true thing is true.
And he's not good with demonstrably true things because he's a climate change denier.
Right, yeah.
So he's not good with thing. He's bad with demonstrably true things. He just happened to fucking fall face down on one of them.
Right, yeah.
And that's how bad it is.
It's not even like he has to be morally right or right about a policy position. He just has to be right about a historical fact.
I'll tell you what, though. The absolute destruction of this party, and I'm terrified of what's going to happen in a couple weeks. Because in 3 weeks, the government runs out of money.
Oh, I know.
And who knows where they're going to be in 3 weeks. They can't. They're not going to get somebody, I don't think.
We talked about this before when McCarthy was kicked out. Like, it is tempting to schadenfreude this and to be like, ha-ha, you know, and have a little bit of, like, that feeling. But there's urgent fucking work that needs to be done.
You're talking 11 months without a government.
Yeah.
It could be 11 months without a government because nobody will do anything.
Terrifying.
Yeah, no.
What are we supposed to do? We need a functioning government. The rest of the world also sees our dysfunction.
Yeah.
It's not like any of this is happening and only Cecil and I and you guys listening get to know about it. The rest of the whole world sees America as less than. You know, our credit rating as a country, our credit rating was downgraded because our politics are so dysfunctional.
Sure.
That's
fucked up.
I mean, like at some point it's like, holy shit, guys, we have lost credibility here. Like, people aren't going to let us buy a car, you know? What the fuck?
We're going to have to call some guy who's like a bankruptcy hotline guy or whatever. Yeah.
You're going
to
be driving to the dealership and making your payments in cash every month. Like, what the fuck is happening?
I mean, that's fraud. Like, no. That's not okay, like, as a company operates.
That's not fraud. That's not fraud. Advertising.
All right. This story comes from the New Republic. Trump Organization executive admits he considered fraud part of the job.
This is part of the job.
And guys, he really did.
He really genuinely did.
He really did. Yeah. Like, he was talking about how, you know, he had to overstate the value of assets because if he didn't do that, he thought, well, you know, they'll fire me if I don't, you know, overstate the value of assets. And to the tune of, at one point, they're talking in this article, they're talking about a series of homes, I think 7 homes.
It was just land. It never got built.
And they valued it as if the construction had been completed.
Yeah, it was just land.
And not only was it not completed yet, they ended up not completing it at all.
They never did it.
And donating it and getting a tax write-off.
For the home stuff. They kept the price as if there were homes built on it.
There was no homes. That's just imaginary homes, man. That's like
the ones you get from Monopoly are more real.
Yeah.
Than the, like, if they went out there with the little red houses, red hotels from Monopoly and set one on each land, that would have been worth more money than what they actually did.
It is exactly the same as this. Cecil, in my hand, I have an imaginary 12-carat diamond.
Okay.
So the value of my palm of my hand is easily $1 million. And then somebody coming along and being like, the value of his hand is $11 million. But I don't have anything in my hand. It's the same thing. Homes you didn't build are homes that are not built.
Are we sure that it isn't behind somebody's ear?
No, I guess.
He just reached back like, oh, there's a home back there. Oh, there's another home back there. Oh, there's another home back there. Oh, another home.
Oh, wait, that time you took my notes.
He's just
that
pulling
time
them out of my his notes. Pocket. He's pulling homes out of his pocket. They're just flying out of there.
When the auditor
is just tied together deeds as they shoot out of there.
When the auditor comes, spray him with your, have him sniff your flower.
Spray him with your flower.
And spray him with your flower.
Walk, honk his nose and then run away.
Holy shit. What a fucking clown car. He's going to, look, Cecil, that fucking guy's going to jail.
I'll tell you what, this feels real, 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 real bad for him.
So going to jail.
Real bad for him. Like, and genuinely, he's getting grumpier, so you know it's worse. He's getting grumpier, so you know it's worse. But genuinely, it does not feel good for him at all with this stuff that's happening. And I cannot wait because they're going to live stream from Georgia. They're going to live stream Paul's case. Oh. On YouTube.
Oh,
so they're going to live stream Paul's case. I know.
Cecil.
Can you quit your job?
I want to quit. Guys, I want to apologize to the audience that I have it. I'm so sorry that I have a day job and that I can't just watch this and comment live.
Wow.
God damn it. Ian, you're going to have to watch this.
I might just do it myself. I might just come up here on my own
and just
comment and just talk to chat for a while if it's going on. Because, man, how fucking amazing is that going to be? I kind of want to watch it live.
When does it start? Next week?
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll figure it out.
Here's the thing. I don't know what my days are ever going to look like. But if you're watching it live, when I can squeeze some time in, I'll call in.
There you go. Just call in. Put you on the
phone. I'll call in.
That'd be great.
I'll call in from home. I'll be like, I got a half hour between meetings.
Let's watch it.
Let's watch this shit together.
Bitch, better have
my money. All right, so speaking of, this is delicious Schadenfreude, though. This is from the Daily
Beast.
See,
now this one.
This I love.
See, now this one, this is just, it's like pure Schadenfreude. It's like layered, wafer thin, just perfectly.
Yes.
It's got a beautiful sauce over the top. They lit it on fire and brought it, and they sang happy birthday while they clapped to you.
This is salted caramel Schadenfreude.
This is beautiful.
I love
this
so much. Just gorgeous. So this is from the Daily Beast. Mike Lindell's entire legal team quits en masse because he hasn't paid them. And Cecil, there's actually like a clip, I think, of him complaining about it.
Oh, is there really? Because I missed this.
I think it's down at the bottom.
I didn't see. I just read it.
Maybe I just read it too, but isn't that a clip?
Oh, it is. Let's see what happens. Tom, let's watch Mike Lindell on the Steve Bannon show.
All right.
Because I'm totally confused now, sir.
Well,
you see, he's got Jesus and what is that? Judas behind it? What is that? What's Jesus and?
I don't know. It's Jesus and one of the guys. What I want to know is what his weird quote is.
Oh, yeah.
That's like half cut off.
Stephen something, right?
It's a quote from Stephen something or other. I don't know what. It's obviously deals with conspiracy because the word conspet
is in there. So,
yeah. And the only thing is like to see it, you'd have to zoom off of Steve Bannon. Yeah,
you'd have to zoom away from Steve Bannon a little bit and see more of him, and nobody wants that.
No, you get a full body view of that guy.
Yeah, at this point, he's half covered by the... by the Chiron, and that's good.
How far do you think you have to zoom away from Steve Bannon to see the entire shape of him? Like in terms of the number of Utahs.
I feel like you got to zoom in closer to see his real shape because I think he's made of a different material than normal humans.
Well, Steve, 10 minutes ago.
Look at his back.
God. So guys, fucking Mike Lindell's background.
He went to fucking Hobby Lobby and got an amazing Grace thing to hang up behind him.
He's got one of those like Eat, Pray, Love signs that just says Amazing Grace on it. And it has like the cords or whatever from it underneath.
How embarrassing. He's got an eagle, folded up flag. I don't know. It looks like a canoe or something.
I think that's the Last Supper. Canoe.
Shows how religious I am. Is that the Last Supper or is it a canoe? It's Jesus's canoe trip to the boundary water. He's like on the cross floating in the boundary water. There we go.
I'm really hoping to see a bear while I'm up here, guys. Really hoping to see a bear.
A bear comes and he like hides behind his hand and he can still see it through his hand. If it can't see me, I can't see it.
Jesus would be perfect for that kind of trip because when you're on that trip, you have to string up all your food in a tree and he's already strung up. maybe he wasn't crucified. Maybe they were hiding him from bears.
I just hold him up in a tree. That's amazing.
All the lawyers we have for MyPillow and myself in the lawsuits with the Lawfare with Dominion and Smartmatic. They just filed in federal court that to drop us as our attorneys. And this comes from the Lawfare, basically, and from the media. The attacks on MyPillow, what American Express did, just devastating our credit. And I can't pay the lawyers. We can't pay. There's no money left to pay them. And I told the attorneys, these are great attorneys. They were courageous, came on a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and they need to get paid. They have families and stuff too. And I told them, I have to protect what's my company. I have to protect that. I can't keep paying into this Lawfare. And so they've had to drop us. I don't know where that leads us, but I wanted to get out in front of it before the media.
Let me tell you where it leads you, Mike. You're fucked, bro.
Yeah.
You're fucked, bro.
You don't know where it leads you.
That's where you're at. You're at the place. Okay, Mike, I know it's probably going to be hard to remember, but there was a time where you weren't a millionaire. Now think about that. That's where you are now.
I have a suggestion, buddy. Take one of those MyPillows and a belt and wrap it around your ass because you're about to get fucked.
You're about to get fucked, dude. You're going to get spanked.
And
wrap one around your face too, so when you scream,
that's actually a good point. Wrap the pillow around your face and then tighten that belt real tight. I'm just saying, see what happens.
Just
see what happens.
You might like it.
Maybe do that and jerk off a little. I hear good things.
You want to talk about a jerk off though, this guy.
Oh,
here's the thing, man. Fucking this guy ran his mouth about these voting machines, tried to fucking be the linchpin that caused the election to get overturned or whatever. He inserted himself in this. You did this to you, man.
Yeah, man.
Nobody did this to you. You did this to you. There's a line from a movie called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, where they look at each other and they say, I think there was a time where we could have just said no, right? These are the two guys who are going to get killed or whatever. Yep. And they're like, I think there was a moment where we could have just said no and we fucked it up and you fucked it up too. There was many moments where you could have backed out quietly and said, you know what? I fucking fucked up. I'm losing money hand over fist. People aren't buying my pillows. I'm getting a bad credit. Something happened with American Express, whatever happened there. Yeah, you know, you had every opportunity to back away and try to rebuild, and you did none of it. You kept on going forward, and now you're gonna fucking eat some shit because of it.
Yeah, it's fucking delicious. Look, nobody knocked on the fucking my pillow door. Nobody's like, all this fucking hullabaloo was going on, and somebody was like, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Did we check with the pillow guy?
What does the MyPillow guy think of all this?
And he was like sitting in his office just selling pillows and minding his own business. And he was like, no, no, I don't want to get involved in that. No, he came looking. He's an attention whore.
Yeah.
Right? He wanted the attention. He's a fucking crazy person. He clearly wanted and reveled in the attention. Remember when he had that like digital fucking conference that he had?
Yeah, he had like a digital conference online. And he's had his own like little show for a while where he gets on and talks. He wants to have this. He wants to be important in this moment.
He's been, and he's had so many like just about a moments, right? Where he's just about to, do this thing and just about to show off the whole conspiracy. And none of it's ever happened because he was always making it up. So he's not somebody we can feel that we should feel sorry for. He was not misled. He was the misleader, right? He is somebody who was just making shit up out of whole cloth. And now all of a sudden
he's being sued for it.
Right. Right. And so like he wants to know where he's at. Well, I don't know, man. Like Dominion took Fox to court. Fucking Fox.
$750 million.
Got $750 million, and they didn't run out of money to pay their lawyers.
Yeah.
So like whatever you have, you don't have
that's not
anymore.
Yours anymore.
You're gone.
There's going to be a guy who's going to be sitting in your seat running your pillow factory in a little while.
Is there a MyPillow desk?
There must be a MyPillow
desk. Holy shit. Can we get the MyPillow desk?
Hey, Dominion, look here. I know we've been on the same side, Dominion, for a long time. This is me to you. Send us the MyPillow desk. I will, I don't know, do something. Whatever it is, back alley, it's a handshake. Yeah.
The hand job.
Whatever it takes, I will do for the MyPillow desk. I'll do hand stuff only, though.
Hand stuff.
Maybe beard stuff. Here's the thing, man.
what a fucking idiot you have to be to roll this up on you throughout the whole time and then play the victim on Steve Bannon's show.
Fucking A, man.
Are you serious?
I think he's trying to use this maybe to try to fundraise, fundraise.
So underneath, if you were reading, there was a website we can go to, electioncrimebureau.com. That's the... So do you want to go to electioncrimebureau.com?
I'm certain there's a place for me to donate. Right. I'm certain that if you go there, you can donate.
Let's just see.
But while you do that, I also want to make note that not only is he fucked from the lawsuit, but he also owes millions of dollars in legal fees. It's not like he had a retainer and they used up all the retainer and now he can't afford more retainer. He's already in hock. He's already, so what's going to happen is the lawyers aren't just going to be like, well, we'll forgive these millions of dollars of the fees.
Sure.
They're going to sue him.
Yeah, they still get that money.
They're going to sue him. They're going to get a judgment. They're going to get a judgment against him he's going to get sued by his own lawyers.
So Mike Lindell introduces Election Crime Bureau. I almost feel like we've got to watch this.
Thank you.
Okay, we got to pause it already. We've got to talk. Guys, I'm sorry. We will play this. So,
that fucking picture behind him is everything I've ever wanted.
This fucking photo. It's the same. He's the same credenza or bureau is behind him, right? As in the other one. But he swapped out his fucking live, laugh, love fucking Amazing Grace thing. Guys, he's got an enormous, enormous painting behind him of Jesus.
As a silhouette.
And then a lion superimposed over the Jesus side view face thing. So it's a lion face and a Jesus face, kind of like, I don't even know how to describe this better.
Lions for lambs. I'm not sure. I don't know. Oh, it works. I love too. So if you look up in the corner, you see the cross. He has a bureau that he bought that either has a cross that he put in it or somebody built it into that bureau.
True.
There's a cross that's wood. I don't know if it's in there or if it's one that he just bought.
Also, he's got a certificate, right? And like, I don't know what his certificate says. I said certificate on purpose. But it looks like it says certificate of completion. And like, I don't care what your professional...
Like potty training or something.
Did he go to like... some kind of pillow conference?
Yeah, I mean, did you go to pillow school? Like pillow in school?
Is there pillow
I went to fluffing school.
That's different.
That's a different
That's
school.
Very different.
Different school.
Very different
very
school.
Very different right. place. Different part of town.
I know we're only
it's
two
a
seconds.
Different part of town. I like that he has a cross, though, like so many crosses. He's got one on his lapel. It's just great. This guy doesn't want you to be mistaken about who he is.
Yeah.
In the new Election Crime Bureau. I've worked on this new platform for months now to help save our country. Think of the Election Crime Bureau as an umbrella that brings everything together, all the efforts that are going on across our country to fix our election platforms. The Election Crime Bureau consists of a massive cyber unit that includes cyber technology and cyber experts all across our country.
Say it again, Mike.
Did he say cyber accurate?
Look, this isn't live. This is an edited video.
This is an edited video, sir. Here we go.
Okay, Mike Lindell, take 362.
Take two, Mike. Here we go.
Cyber experts all across...
Again, not live.
What did you
not
say?
Live.
Cyber accurate. What is cyber accurate?
Cyber...
Hold on.
That includes cyber technology and cyber experts all across our country. Next, we have our...
It's like he got a shot of Novocaine before he started talking. I just got back from the dentist. Sorry, I had a root canal earlier. I'm going to use cyber records.
Who taught Mike Lindell the word cyber?
What is it
Who
mean?
Taught him this word?
Is he saying cyber accuracy?
Saying cyber experts.
Oh, is it experts?
I think so. But hold on. I know you're going to play it again. I want you to. But also, I love it. He's like, we got a cyber unit. And it's going to have, and they just describe cyber stuff, basically. Listen to him.
Okay,
it's so great.
Let's hear what he has to say again.
The crime bureau consists of a massive cyber unit that includes cyber technology and cyber experts all across our...
Accurates. No, he's saying accurates, Tom. He's not saying experts. That's not even close, man. Come on.
It could be cyber accurate. Who knows?
It's like a truck. It's like the Cybertruck ran into an Acura, and then you get one of those.
Our cyber unit's going to include cyber technology. Really? Mike, no, what do you think cyber is?
No way! Get out of here!
We got an information technology platform. It has some technology with respect to information and some information that is technological within its very nature as a platform, if you know what it is.
Synergy
with respect to the informational technologies, the technological informations.
Synergy.
What?
Synergy, Tom.
Maybe you take your cyber Acura on the information superhighway.
This motherfucker's getting passed on the information superhighway, let me tell you. I need to hear it one more
time,
guys.
One more
time,
favorite thing.
Here's the thing, guys. I just need to hear it one more time.
Sorry. Crime Bureau consists of a massive cyber unit that includes cyber technology and cyber experts all across the country. Next, we have our legal unit.
Not anymore. Oh, you're an absolute unit.
Well, okay. So, all right. So there's openings. That's what I'm hearing.
Fighting to fix our election platforms through the courts. Mm-hmm. There are currently over 60 lawsuits going on throughout our country.
Just in general?
At any one time in the country, Tom, there can be up to 60 lawsuits bouncing around in the courts. Up to.
It's about like, you know, 1.2 yeah. per state, you know?
The court, you don't want to overload the court system. Let's not be crazy.
We're going to help write our election platforms from things that were put in illegally by the Secretary of States and governors who used the China virus as an excuse. The legislators make the laws, and we have to get our country back where we follow the Constitution and the law.
You know what's so funny is there's so many of these fucking crazy fucking far right places that gerrymandered, knocked out fucking polling stations,
yep.
took away mail-in ballots, restricted mail-in voting, restricted early voting. They did everything they could. Yep. Basically, everything that he's complaining about, they are the ones who did.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like the guys who made it, well, that's exactly what he wants. He's like, look, we don't want to make it easier for people to vote.
I know.
And we got to go into all these states that made it easier for people to vote and roll that back so that we can't make it harder for people to vote.
And
I don't
want to
say like black people, yeah, but winky, winky
I do
face.
Mean black people.
What I mean is if you're black, maybe stay home. Mike Lindell.
I'm just saying.
Which brings up our next unit, which is the legislative unit, which we have our lawyers all across the country going state by state and finding out where we're at with each
state. Yeah, they're going state by state being like, pay me.
Yeah.
Pay me, bitch. Pay me.
They should have stayed at a fucking Holiday Inn
Fuck
Express.
Fuck you, pay me. Fuck you, pay me.
State's footprint and how far apart we are from getting to the best elections possible or our current corrupt elections. Then we have the communication division of our platform, the Election Crime Bureau. And under that, we have the Cause of America, which has already been established in all 50 states. This is a communication hub that connects all the states to give them the most up-to-date information on election
crime.
Wait
a minute. What is he talking about?
Wait a minute.
What is he talking about?
Does he think the
Cause of America? What did he say?
Does he think the states were not connected to one another before this?
I need to know
this?
What he said, though, ahead of time.
I believe he strung tin cans from state to state. That's what I believe right
now. He's got one of those, like, fucking cat's cradles that's all across the nation.
Wait, now all the states can communicate thanks to Mike Lindell.
Okay.
Has this ever happened to you? My buddy moved to Indiana. I'll never talk to him again.
Hey! How are you?
What the fuck? We're already connected, dipshit. We've got like a fucking phone tree, like it's like 1988.
He's like, Mabel, give me the president, Mabel.
He's
it's a lady on a switchboard.
There's an Ian that works for him that's pranking him. You're going to need look, all the kids have cyber units and communication trees and information
cyber,
technology.
Cyber excerpts.
Cyber excerpts.
Hold on. What did he say here that he had? Because he said there was like a communication.
The
something.
Cause of America.
Let's see. Yep.
Cause of America. Which?
Okay. I don't know what that means. Let's just go back.
Go all the way back.
Platform, the Election Crime Bureau. And under that, we have the cause of America, which has already been established in all 50 states. This is a communication hub that connects all the states to give them the most up-to-date information on election crime and election.
It's a fucking email newsletter, man. That's
probably what it is. The cause of America.
It's a fucking email newsletter.
I'll bet you're right. I'll bet you're right. Yeah, you're right. God, that sounds so boring. It's like the most boring marketing in the world.
Jesus Christ. It's like you got fucking campaign manager, man. Good for you.
Integrity efforts. Lastly, and very important, is our needs management unit of the Election Crime Bureau. Needs will be vetted all across our country, and grants will be given to them to help fix our election.
There's all your lawyers like, we need to be paid.
Yeah, every single lawyer is like, every time you try to give a grant, the lawyer like swoops in real fast, grabs the money and runs away.
Everywhere. So please submit your email here so you can get important newsletters and updates.
Yep.
Also, download the Frank Speech app now at the App Store. This will be your one-stop shop for the cause of America, Lindell TV, and connections to anything and everything that you should be posting daily to all your social media platforms. This will help save our country. And finally, we need your help. Please donate whatever you can now to help save our country. Everybody keep the faith. Thank you and God bless.
It's not even edited. Tom, you didn't even edit it out. Okay, so at the end, I want people to listen. Whoever's listening, I want you to listen really close and you'll hear his suit move. So listen to this.
To help save our country, everybody keep the faith. Thank you and God bless.
That sound is not Mike Lindell stopping. That's Mike Lindell literally stopping the camera himself.
He's reaching forward, guys, and turning off the camera. He's got a cyber unit.
Here's the thing.
What happened to his cyber?
I just want to say, I recognize why he's so incompetent. He's his own Ian.
Dude, for real. Look.
I'm kidding. See, I love Ian.
He's not that bad. First of all.
Brutal.
I know how to edit.
Enough of a video.
I know how to like take a
enough to edit off the, to cut the ends off.
I can cut the ends off. Holy shit. Which means he had to do that whole thing in one take.
You were right. They were cyber experts. You were right. They were experts.
Cyber experts.
They sound like cyber axerts. I don't know what, I mean, like that didn't sound like Frank Speech Media Network, Lindell TV.
Other media.
Cause of America. What? I can click on it.
Yeah. You got to click on Cause of America.
Had enough. Involved today.
This website, guys, this website looks like what year? 19.
Yeah, it very much looks like, it kind of, to be honest, it looks like that. Remember we were clicking on that one guys who had the Epoch Times?
Yeah,
much looks like that to me. Yeah, it's like a bad WordPress site that they have set up.
It's a really bad WordPress site. It just looks old. It looks old and dated, like,
ugh. Yeah. It's just, all it is a website. So the cause of America is a website. Well, I mean, it's cheap to have a GoDaddy account, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, it probably even that'll get canceled soon because he's just fucking out of money. Can you imagine the terror of working for this guy? You're just some guy.
I'll tell you what.
You just got a job at a company.
Especially somebody who's like, who's been in this pillow industry for him for a while, and you see, man, our pillows are selling a lot. I've been working a lot of overtime. And then this guy can't shut his fucking mouth. It's like when the people who own Tesla stock are complaining to Elon Musk to shut the fuck up because you're ruining my fucking 401k or whatever.
Right.
You too can become financially independent in just a matter of months.
So this story comes from Newsweek. RFK is a lesson for MAGA world. Be careful what you wish for. So RFK just recently, like yesterday or today,
a couple days ago,
like announced that he was pulling out of the Democratic primary and he was going to run as an independent.
Yeah.
And I am not sure who this will draw voters from. It's going to draw voters from the left and from the right.
I think so. I think the right are more inclined, I think now, the average person on the right is more inclined now to be anti-vax.
Yeah.
I don't think that's always been the case.
No. Yeah.
But I do think now, the current climate that we're in, there is a better chance if you're like a straight Republican to be anti-vax. And that is his only real selling point. His only real selling point is anti-vax and anti-war. Those are the two things that he is.
And his last name.
And his last name.
And his last name.
But I think genuinely he's got, he's something of a, he's kind of like a person who I think has a lot of pull behind him. But he, whenever he spoke, to me, he always seemed like somebody who was on the right. So it never really struck me. So
I know.
But I don't know that there are people out that are on the left that are all 100% educated on what he has to offer. And so they might, again, just see name recognition and follow him. And that's the problem, is that our voting populace isn't as informed as they could be, because we make it hard enough to vote in this country where some people don't even know if they will vote.
Yeah, I am a little nervous about this. I am a little nervous about the RFK wild card. I don't know who he will pull from more. You know, part of me thinks that what he might do is galvanize people who weren't going to vote for him. That doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, those people don't matter.
Everybody who wasn't going to vote, you know, and there's a non-zero number of people that are, you know, like, I'm not voting for Biden another time. You know, if you weren't going to vote for him, this also now doesn't matter. As long as you weren't going to vote for Biden and you're now not going to vote for Trump, like, that's okay. Yeah. That's fine. Like, that doesn't,
you're net zero.
It zeroes out.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are going to be people who are like, I want something different. And they're going to go for that third party. Third parties are weird fucking wild
third
cards.
Third parties are weird wild cards. I remember Nader.
Yeah.
In the 2000 election. I remember Ross Perot in the 1992.
Jill Stein didn't do us any favors.
Jill Stein didn't do any favors for Hillary Clinton in 2016. And there hasn't been any real successful third parties. There's been one or two in the very long past. Ross Perot is one of them who was mildly successful, won some states, and got enough of the vote to be considered for the next presidential debates to be on the stage. I mean, he got enough of the vote where people were interested enough to see him again. So Ross Perot was somebody who did well there, but he was Trump before Trump existed.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. He was doing the Trump thing before Trump existed. And I'll admit, like, I was pulled in by his infomercials and the things that he was doing. I was a young kid at the time.
Sure.
And I was watching TV and being like, man, I don't know. I mean, seems like politicians fucked my parents' life up. So why wouldn't it be okay for somebody else to step in and do this? And he was different than the Republican Party. At that time, it wasn't a Republican as a businessman running. It was a guy who was running against a Republican as a businessman.
Right.
So you got to understand it's a different animal back then. So it just is different. But genuinely, you're not going to get a lot of ground, but you get enough ground to fuck things up, to knock the top off and to move it, you know, to get the gyro moving enough so it wobbles. And that can wobble badly for different parties. So it could, you're right to be afraid of this.
Yeah.
Third parties, unless they pull up and do that groundwork ahead of time, really just pull enough votes to be annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how worried to be about RFK. I really don't. I'm not worried. Like, when Kanye entered the race, that was just such a joke.
Sure.
Right? The birthday party was never going anywhere. Like, the candles were already blown out when he showed up. And he was barely on, he wasn't even on a lot of the ballots. It will matter where RFK gets on in terms of balloting, because he may not be able to get on. He's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of signature gathering.
There's a lot of work to do.
You have no machine running behind you. You have to assemble the whole fucking thing, start to finish. There's not even like a Green Party behind him. There's nothing behind RFK except for his raspy fucking voice.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can galvanize anti-vaxxers. I will say that. That's easy. So he could feasibly get, I think, enough people behind him to...
I wonder if the people who were anti-vax because of Trump will be pulled in by this.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know.
Because I do think that a lot of the right-wing anti-vax people are hard Trumpers. Like, I feel like that overlap is really, really high.
I feel like they're definitely... in bed. They definitely are. If you are a anti-vaxxer and you're on the right, chances are you were against the mandates. Chances are you were against any of the other things that happened during, and Trump tried to walk a weird line of being both responsible for it and also decrying it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he did a weird, and these people are easily fooled, so they think he didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, it was weird because he was obviously he was braggadocious about his role in Operation Warp Speed.
Still is.
Still is. And then at the same time, absolutely did not want any public health measures taken. Yeah. Essentially no public health measures taken at all. Everything just left up to the whims of the individual and then kind of shit on anybody who was like pushing other people to get the vaccine, right? Yeah. So yeah, Trump spoke out of both sides of his mouth so that people could hear and embrace the message they wanted, right? So as long as you just constantly gave messages, you could just like go fucking Bible it, just pick and choose the verses you like best.
The news about Taylor Swift and Kelsey is going crazy right now.
Uh-huh.
And, but I think it's so cool because it's like she's going to help him. She's going to like help put him on the map, you know?
Help put him on the map?
Yeah, like get...
He doesn't need help being put on the map, right?
Well...
He's Travis Kelce. The guy's like the best tight end in football. Maybe ever.
I don't think many people know who he is.
I think a lot of people know who he is. Travis Kelce.
I'm pretty sure she's the one that's like making his career go crazy right now.
You're joking, right?
No.
You're joking.
So story comes from Newsweek. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, thank you, should be executed, Christian commentator. So
literally says this.
Yeah. So I wanna read what he says, because I will say, he says, I think these people should be publicly prosecuted and hung. I'd love to be hung. I'm not.
Taylor Swift is with Travis Kelce. Maybe he's already hung.
So I got to just read what this fucking lunatic says. He's a Christian commentator named Morgan Ariel. And he said this on the Stu Peters show, whatever the fuck that is. Whatever it is, it gets 500,000 fucking Twitter and Rumble followers. What the fuck is Rumble?
Rumble is the alternative to YouTube, I think.
Oh my God, I hate it all. All right, so he also said, I think we need justice in this country. I think the celebrities that are pushing it, they should be tried, and they don't have any conviction because their God is Satan and they value money instead of human life. When he says push it, he's referring to the vaccine.
Yeah.
Because Kelce did a commercial for Pfizer.
Yeah.
So that's what he was flipping out about. Then he said, Peter said people like Kelce and Swift are responsible for murder and selling their souls and knowingly killing children. This is a strong point in favor of the rumors that Taylor Swift is actually a lesbian or even asexual, because with a history like that and all these death jabs, it's pretty clear Kelce has no dick, said Peters. And I actually, when I read this, part of what I wanted to seize on is that language where he says it's pretty clear that she's a lesbian or even asexual. And I thought that's really telling language when you're talking about a woman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Because, absolutely.
Because he's saying like, or even asexual. Because
asexual is worse than a lesbian.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Because what a woman is something to be sexualized. Mm-hmm. And he's saying like, look, she can't be sexualized and for the pleasure of men. And she can't even be sexualized and second tier in a misogynist mind for the pleasure of women. She is not for the pleasure of anyone. And isn't that the worst thing a woman can be, is to be sexually useless? That's embedded in that language.
For sure.
That is 100% right there in that language. Yeah. And it just popped out like a fucking neon sign.
They are flipping out about this because Travis Kelce is a tight end, caliente.
So is Taylor Swift.
From the Kansas City Chiefs. So okay. Travis Kelce is a star player for them. And he has been sort of very vocally dating Taylor Swift. She's been coming to the events that he's playing at. So she's flying to go see him and sitting in the press box or whatever, one of those owner boxes.
Right.
And the camera loves Taylor Swift. I mean,
sure.
I mean, yeah. Taylor Swift's a beautiful young lady and the camera loves her. So, and of course, the NFL wants to push that she's at the game so that people, because genuinely, after it became public knowledge that she was dating Travis Kelce, his jersey sales went through the roof because of Swift fans.
I'm
because
sure.
of these Swifties.
Yeah.
They wound up going out and buying these things because, and this could get them involved or interested even the most cursory way to the NFL. And to them, that's money to be made. That's money in the bank. What do you think about that? I mean, genuinely,
fuck yeah.
They are excited about this. So they keep showing her and they keep playing up this relationship between the two of them. And what's happening is the people on the right who are football fans are upset because she is clearly not on the right.
Right.
And that makes them very upset. And then him also doing something like being pro-vaccine is against what they think too. And so again, he's getting shit on because of this too. And so the sort of far right people who enjoy football are really upset by this. They're just trying to find a way to make a wedge, any wedge they can between football and these two.
Right.
And so that's what's been playing on behind the scenes for the past 2 or 3 weeks. And this is another guy who's frustrated by it. He's mad because he's got to, now he can't just talk about football. He's got to talk about Taylor Swift and he's got to talk about vaccines. And he doesn't want to have that in this portion of his life.
Yeah, I think for a big part of this country, football is a national religion.
Yeah.
It really is.
Sure.
And it is like a national religion that the right feels a sense of ownership for. And they're like, yeah, now I got this fucking person in my church.
Yeah.
Now I got this person, you know, in my fucking pew. And they're not part of my fucking truck nuts gang or like whatever it is. I'm not saying that football is exclusively the purview.
It's not.
And I want to be clear about that. I'm saying it goes the other direction. That the right has embraced football and they lay sort of a weird ownership claim to football that football doesn't lay to them, right?
No.
And it's weird to me that like they're going to try to swim uphill against Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, if you don't follow it, like I like Taylor Swift, but like Taylor Swift is by far, and it's not even close, the most popular musician
right
in
now.
America.
Right now.
Right now. She may be one of the most popular musicians ever.
Ever.
Like when her concerts go on sale, they break every record just immediately. There's actually a thing going on, I think this coming weekend or maybe the next weekend, where in movie theaters, her concerts will show. You can't even get tickets to those. Those have broken all the records. They're breaking websites for people to buy tickets to see a film of a concert. So like swimming upstream against a cultural force, that's intense.
She is an absolute icon when it comes to this.
Yeah. She is. It's a crazy thing. The money behind Taylor Swift, the cultural celebrity behind Taylor Swift. And you got this fucking guy, Morgan fucking Ariola or whatever his fucking name is, complaining that like she won't fuck him or whatever his whining and whinging is all about. Just like falls so flat. She's so like on her worst blink, she is more powerful than all of her critics.
Oh, yeah.
Combined.
Absolutely.
Combined.
And both of us are looking at it like, how do you have 500,000 followers?
Right.
She has like 40 million on Instagram or something crazy.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It could be 100 million. I don't even know.
She can get 500,000 people to like make her a sandwich every day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they would mail her sandwiches. Yeah. It's crazy.
But again, it's hyper misogyny. And it's, like you said, it's very much their ownership of the NFL because look at what they did when black guys were kneeling.
Yeah.
Look at what they did then. Look at how they treat, and look at how Trump talked about it too. I wouldn't be surprised if he talks about this. I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be shocked if he didn't. I would be absolutely shocked if he didn't. I love watching the right wingers lose control over something they never had a right to control.
Yeah.
Which is the minds and the bodies and the thoughts of the employees of the NFL. Like these team members are just employees. They can do whatever the fuck they want, you know? If they can take on an endorsement deal for Burger King, they can take on a fucking endorsement deal for Pfizer. I want them to take on
it. Yeah, I know.
You know, like, I don't give a shit if somebody sells another shoe. You know what I mean? Fucking sell a shoe. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Sell a shoe, don't sell a shoe. I want everyone getting a goddamn vaccine,
I definitely want everybody to be in the same restaurant I'm in. I want everybody to be vaccinated.
Right.
That's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to be back this upcoming Thursday for a patron special, patron only special on Patreon. You can join them. Go to patreon.com /dissonancepod or dissonancepod.com. Become a patron on a per episode basis, and you can join in on not only that one, but all the ones in the past, all the shows, the extra shows that we've put together for the patrons, all the extra videos that we put on there. You can go check that out. It helps pay salaries, my salary and two other salaries. It very much helps pay our bills. So if you like the show and you enjoy the show and you think it's worth a buck a show, go ahead to Patreon and become a patron. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave it like we always do, though, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.